You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 1994 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is an evening lecture given by Brother John McCall titled, Patience.
Brothers and sisters and dear friends, we've read from Psalm 37 tonight. There's a wonderful promise there, isn't there, that God will reward the righteous and punish the wicked. But it's all qualified really in terms of his good time. And perhaps the title patience can be summed up in a biblical way in that sense, that we must have patience in terms of God's good time, not our own. And so the biblical definition of patience is not an inactive one where we just sit back and wait for something to happen, right? That's often what we're told to do in traffic or something like that. Have patience. You just sit and wait for the traffic to move. Biblical patience is something quite different, and I hope to be able to illustrate that. It's described by one commentator as restraint in the face of opposition or oppression. And it's really an attribute of God because it stems, as we'll see from Scripture, it stems from God's love for us. And so we can exhibit this attribute of God. We can exhibit some measure of God's love by extending our patience to the events we see around us in faith, knowing that in God's good time, he will reward the righteous and will punish the wicked. In the Old Testament, it has also been defined as I said, the attributes of God, in that God is long-suffering, and perhaps that's a word we could use as a substitute for patience. God is long-suffering and slow to anger. In Exodus 34, if you want to turn with me to some verses as we go along, Exodus 34, 5 and 6, we have this description of our Lord God, and this is the account where Moses is going up to get the two tables of stone with the law written thereon. Exodus 34, 5 and 6. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. More or less part of the title of God, an attribute, a very important attribute of God at that time when the law was given. Similarly, in Joel, Gospel of Joel, chapter 2, verse 12, we read, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, patient, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And so in this sense, we too can have patience. We can be slow to anger, and we can exhibit a measure of God's love and patience. God's patience is probably best illustrated with those non-repentant sinners of which we are numbered. He has extended his grace by postponing the return of his son. And that to me is the ultimate patience, the ultimate long-suffering of God, that he has given us a little more time to repent and turn to him. It's an exhibition of his love. And to me it explains a lot. We often ask, why suffering? Why do we have to go through all this stuff? Why do we have to put up with the sin and the suffering we see around us? If we turn it around, we can see that it's God's love that he has extended into Gentile time so we too can be accounted in the number that he deems righteous. In the New Testament, the Greek word means a long holding out of the mind before it gives away to anger. A long holding out of the mind before it gives way to anger. So God defers his judgment and his anger in patience so that man might repent. Turn with me to Isaiah's Gospel, chapter 48. Isaiah 48, verse 9. Again, his reason given here is associated with his title and his name. Isaiah 48, verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. And so he's postponed the time of judgment upon us all, so that his name might be magnified, that there is a greater chance that we might come to him. Patience is also related to suffering. As I said, the definition of patience scripturally is long suffering. And we know, of course, in terms of Job, that he suffered long, and he had to learn patience, and he exhibited great patience. As I said before, this is an explanation that I can accept, at least, why suffering. Suffering is the time in which we learn to be patient. We have an opportunity to examine ourselves under some stress and examine whether we know God and want to be with him. And so it's a quality that God requires of us, because we are to emulate his characteristics. His called out ones also have to be patient. We get some other examples of God's patience with man starting way back in Genesis at chapter 4. Here we have the account of the murderous Cain not being condemned to death, but having a way provided whereby he might live. And most of us are familiar with this, but let's read again Genesis 4, verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So God protected even the murderous Cain from death in this way. He extended his love, his long-suffering, his patience is exhibited here. And then we have Genesis chapter 9. Well, we're in Genesis. Genesis 8 and 9, the account of the flood, where God's patience certainly ran out to a large extent with the wickedness that was in the earth. And yet, even after that, we have his patience exhibited. I'm not going to read those verses, but Genesis 9, 8 through 17. But what I'd like to do is look at the New Testament account and interpretation of these verses in 1 Peter chapter 3. This is one of those neat passages that's quoted in the New Testament, so we know the interpretation is sure in terms of a more modern, if you will, application. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we should view that patience of God in Noah's time as a figure of the patience he has with us and the baptism we have that saves us from sin. We also have wonderful patience exhibited in the act of extending the gospel to the Gentiles, just from the Jewish race. And we have in Romans chapter 9 some pertinent verses. Romans 9 verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us by whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And he said, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and behold, which was not my beloved. And so this is the extension to all of us non-Jewish believers. The patience of God has been extended into Gentile times. So the exhortation, brothers and sisters, is obvious to us, that we must be patient with our neighbors, our children, with our brethren and sisters. If we read in 1 Corinthians 13, and I won't quote extensively there, this is the wonderful chapter on love. We read that patience stems from love, and God is love, and love suffereth long. Love is patience. So, brethren and sisters, if we don't exhibit patience, we really don't exhibit the love of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we have an indication of the activeness of patience. It's not something that we just wait for. It's an active attribute. It involves work in this period of patience. 1 Thessalonians 5 at verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So love and patience and peace are linked. Peace be among yourselves. We have a contrast in the words of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 8 and 9, we read that patience in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to anger, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And so we have an equation here between impatience, anger, foolishness, versus patience, love, and wisdom. We are now enjoying God's patience. Turn with me to 2 Peter again, chapter 3. 2 Peter 3. We have a contrast here between a couple of verses. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? They weren't very patient, were they? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and so forth. The impatience of man. And we too can get impatient. How often do we come and say, how long is this going to go on? Why doesn't God intervene, either in my life because of pain or sorrow or suffering, or in the world because of its wickedness? But it's on God's timetable, as we started in Psalm 37 tonight. But we have a contrast in verses 8 and 9. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. What is the Lord? The Lord is long-suffering toward, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the reason he is patient. He is long-suffering toward, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Here we have, again, God's righteousness declared in verse 21. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in blood, in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And so everything comes through Jesus. God's patience is perhaps best illustrated by the sending of his Son, who was crucified. And yet God was patiently providing for us. We have some warnings, however, about God's patience running out in Acts 17, verse 29. Acts 17, 29. For as then, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So the evidence is there. God has raised his Son from the dead, and we're on God's plan, and there is an end in sight, and his patience of evil, if you will, postponed to the judgment day, is rapidly running out. There's another Greek word used for patience in the New Testament that relates to the times of affliction we have. And this is in James' letter. If you'll turn with me to James, chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. And so patience is, and suffering in this sense, is something that levels us and brings us to a knowledge of God's greatness. How can we gain patience? Well, we observe the patience that the patriarchs of old had, and those wonderful men and women of faith that are recorded in Hebrews 12, and of course of Jesus Christ himself. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, that ye might with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we turn to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. This follows that wonderful account in Hebrews 11 of all those faithful men that had such patience and faith in God. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Run with patience. Very, very active. Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we have some practical advice here. We are to live as Christ lived. We are to run that race. We are to preach actively in this time of patience day by day. We are obviously to have patience as God had with us, with our brethren and sisters, with our neighbors. We are to patiently put up with affliction. We are to suffer patiently. We are to patiently wait for Christ's return. We can't hasten that day. We can play our part in God's plan, but we can't hasten the day that God will judge the world. And so ultimate peace with God, joining in love with him, is achieved through the development of spiritual patience. And it's part of a spiritual regeneration that we pass through as we develop as sons and daughters of God. In fact, in Romans, we read of a stepwise process of regeneration that includes the development of patience. Turn with me to Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. And so there's a progression of holiness, if you will, of becoming a little more like God in having patience. I'd like to share a little poem with you at this time. The author is unknown, but it well illustrates the point I want to make, that the ways of the Lord are past finding out. That's the title of the poem. It's very relevant, I think, to patience and suffering and the way in which our lives are guided or should be guided by God. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for help that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Despite myself, my prayers were answered. I am amongst men richly blessed. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. We'll close with these verses. Revelation 3 verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear. The Spirit saith unto the churches.